fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Hey, I like that. That looks pretty good. All right. Hey, welcome into the program. What's up? It is a post-Monday, the greatest day of the entire week, a Tuesday rolling right on through Super Tuesday 3.0 as we have more states going to the ballot box today for their presidential preference primaries. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Welcome into it. It is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country on multiple radio stations, TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen. So great to have you with us. Your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Coming up on the show today, Brent Hamacek. He is the author of the book, Dissidently Speaking. We'll talk about critical thinking in society. Oh, mon Dieu. I know that's a hard one. Do we still use critical thinking and using certain words, being able to communicate with one another, would that help with some of the friction, the ties, the segregation that we're seeing in the nation today with the political polarization if we just had a conversation and if we got out of our echo chambers? So that'll be fun. We'll chat with him coming up at the bottom of the hour. What a day, man. There's a lot to talk about for sure. News coming out of the Supreme Court that we'll get to in just a moment here as well. But we got to start off programming note for you. I like it. If you don't watch the video feed, highly encourage you to do so if you like watching this ugly mug. I'm not quite sure why you enjoy that, but if you do, you have the opportunity to watch the video. We are on our social media sites at Hoosier Reason and, of course, my personal Facebook page where we do some of our live video streams. But we are changing up some of the graphics. And I got to say, I kind of like them. They look kind of nice. So we're changing those up a little bit. And hat tip to our friends over at OpsLens, OpsLens.com. They are the great ones that distribute our video streaming for the show all over the place on all of their apps and their website and their social media. And at the same time, they have as well, they're working on ramping things up a little bit. We are on Roku TV, which if you have a Roku, either TV or if you have a Roku app in some fashion, hold on here. I think we got it. Had that frog in the throat. The allergies, man. Now that it's springtime, it's driving me absolutely nuts. So I'm trying not to cough on the air. I apologize for that. Nonetheless, you can find us on the Roku app with OpsLens, which apparently is a very popular tool for those that have the Roku channel. So you can find us on OpsLens, and you can see us stream on there live every single day as well. So a lot of really cool stuff going on. We'll have more information on that. You can go to OpsLens.com, where you can download their app and watch us live there as well. All right, let's break down some of the big election day dates on where you can go and vote.
What's trending today?
So looking at it, according to NBC News, we have 5 states that are going on today. One of those here at my home state, the great state of Kansas, all my Kansas folks and Wichita folks, if you are listening to the program, it is presidential preference primary day. So hopefully you've gone out and made your voice heard. I am curious, though, on what the voter turnout's going to be from here on out. Now that we have our presumptive nominees for both candidates, does it really make a difference if you turn out and vote? No, obviously people are going to, and I hope people go and do so. I will be voting after the program today and trying to get out there before the polls close. So I am looking forward to making my voice heard, but I am curious on how many are actually going to be going out and making their voice heard today. Because just the fact that we already have our presumptive nominee and that are you really going to take your time to go out and do so? I hope you are, but I'm wondering how many actually will. But Kansas is on the docket for today, including other states like Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and the great state of Ohio, which makes sense why Donald Trump was over the weekend campaigning in Ohio. And there's some news, really, these are fascinating states, all of them, really. Arizona, especially, Florida, Illinois and Ohio. Kansas, we're kind of the one that's a surefire Republican state, so I'm not too terribly worried about us here in Kansas. But the other states are interesting ones, to say the least. Starting off with Arizona, right now, obviously, there's some big races going on, not just in the presidential race, because it is a center-right-leaning state for the most part, but there's a couple counties where, as you know, they have their own issues, and they battle with voter fraud or just being able to do things properly. Counting votes, making sure that they actually work the way they're supposed to. But Kari Lake is running for Senate there. And according to, who is this, Newsmax now, more than 50% of Republicans in the U.S. Senate already have endorsed Kari Lake for the U.S. Senate seat for the general election. Oh, my. Now, for those that may be slow on the draw, Carrie Lake is definitely the Trump-supporting conservative Republican candidate, where, if you remember, the state chair of the Republican Party had to walk away because they tried to buy her off by getting her a position, a nice, warm, cushy position on some type of big corporate board, so that way she would walk away from the race because they really, really, really did not want her on the docket there. But nonetheless, I don't know why you would try and buy off Carrie Lake when you can tell that she's actually a person of principle and not one just doing it for the money or to be bought off. But she exposed that. The chair walked away and stepped down from the Republican Party in Arizona, and now she's the leading favorite for that race. So, Arizona, we have to watch you. At the same time, we're going to start getting some candidates on for the state legislature in the state of Arizona, which I know you guys listen to the program. We don't have any radio stations in Arizona, but you guys kill it with the podcast downloads, and I appreciate that. But I know how close it is. I'm watching you. I'm well aware. I'm paying attention that two state House seat flips in Arizona could make you a Democrat-led state. You have now officially become a purple state, which you've always kind of sort of been. Like, you dominate Second Amendment issues. You're predominantly Republican, but many of the Republicans there are the same Republicans that were the John McCain Republicans. Many of the Republicans were the Jeff Flake Republicans and some of the very squishy rhinos that fought against the Trump administration early on at the beginning of his administration. So you're a very wild state, and I'm very intrigued by you, and that piques my interest. So I am curious on what's going on, but we are going to focus a lot of attention in Arizona because of how narrow their state legislature could be in this election and how important that one is to maintain before we start seeing things move in the opposite direction. Then you have Illinois, obviously, which is a predominantly blue state, and I'm not worried about it. Donald Trump will more than likely win the presidential preference primary today, but the Democrats really have the stronghold in Illinois. You got Chicago, and then you got Chicago, and that's about it. And you got the state government where they are just as corrupt as the city of Chicago itself. So there's not much we can say about that, but Ohio's the fun one. Coming from Ohio, very familiar with the political landscape in Ohio, and how it's still a Republican state, but again, it's kind of a unique Republican state because it's a very unionized state. It's very blue collar, and you either have agricultural workers or you have the manufacturing plants and the auto industry and producing stuff. You either have the auto industry up north or you have some of the big factories making, I don't know, like Frito-Lays and some of that stuff down in the Cincinnati area on the southern end of the state. Then you have the eastern part with Cleveland, and then just kind of ag in between all of that. So it's a very diverse state, Ohio, and you have to find a way to appeal to them because while the blue-collar worker is predominantly center-right, they also have that union influence that makes them a somewhat centerized type of Republican, which is why Donald Trump did a fantastic job, I believe, over the weekend talking about the, you know, his whole bloodbath thing that the Democrats are losing their minds over. They realize that he was talking to them when he was saying that Republicans, for the most part, are the ones actually standing up for the blue-collar worker in the nation. Because right now we're seeing the push for illegal migrants coming across the border. We're seeing the push for electric vehicles coming across and taking over the auto industry. And all of these factors are going to make the blue-collar worker and the union members all lose their jobs. In fact, there's a scandal going on in Ohio right now where J.D. Vance was on Fox News talking about it, of the company of Tyson Meat Plant, or the Tyson Meat Company, that's firing American workers and hiring the illegal aliens because they want the cheap labor. And that is not a good push. That is not a good agenda. That is not a good look for the Democrat Party. And the Republicans are the ones standing up for the blue-collar American worker.
Well, it shouldn't be, Jesse. And we're certainly going to look into whether we can change that, assuming Tyson is operating legally, which we don't even know if they are. We don't know the details of this. All we know, Jesse, is that they are firing American workers and hiring illegal aliens to replace them. This is the entire point of illegal immigration, and Republicans, we've got to hammer this point home. It reduces the wages of American workers by replacing American citizens with foreign laborers who are willing to work at slave wages. It has been the plan, as you said, from the beginning, and what this means is the eradication of the American dream. Every time an American is replaced with an illegal immigrant, it means that an American family loses a good family-supporting wage. It means that American companies are literally replacing our own citizens with people who will work for slave wages. That is not capitalism or a market economy, Jesse. That is the decimation of the American middle class via illegal immigration, and it's happening all over the country.
All right, that audio from Fox News, that again was U.S. Senator J.D. Vance. Remember the new right. He's the new right guy. He's the radical fringe taking the national white Christian populism and taking it to an entirely new level. That's the guy that says, wait a second, maybe we should have American workers that actually can make some decent wages. Now, you know my feeling about unions, and I'm sure that the majority of the listeners here also agree about the stance on union issues, but appealing to the blue-collar union worker is an extremely important way to win over states like Michigan and Indiana and Ohio and Illinois and some of these areas because of how influential that industry is. And imagine, if you will, the Democrat Party that twists themselves in such a wild knot every single day that tries to say they are the party of the working class, they are the party of the lower and middle class, they are the party of the working man, when they're advocating for the mass importation of illegal migrants coming into the country, and then they support the businesses or these evil corporations that they supposedly don't like and they want to tax really, really high because they're making so many profits. They're allowing these evil corporations that they supposedly hate to be able to fire American workers and hire illegal migrants on the pennies compared to what we're paying the U.S. employees, so that way they can make a bigger profit and we're bringing in and doing the civic thing and we're doing the philanthropy thing and we're doing the community thing by hiring the less fortunate that have come here from poor and destitute nations, because that's just what we have to do as a person. And essentially shelving the American worker at the same time. While Joe Biden's out there touting that he's made everything that he's proud of has made in America, because he wanted to take a hold of the Make America Great Again by saying that we're building back America and that we're making things local and that we're buying things local and that we're hiring local and that it's all going to be made in the U.S. of A. It could be made in the U.S. of A, but it's going to be produced and manufactured by migrants that he brought here illegally and got rid of the American worker that's actually supporting the American economy. I've never seen the twisted pretzel in so many areas all at the same time, and people actually go for this stuff. Andy, the Democrats are for the working class. Republicans are for rich evil. Okay, yeah. We've heard that enough, and we know how not true that is. And Donald Trump was the prime example of that, which, imagine that you have to take a corporate billionaire to come in who's actually worked with the blue-collar workers, worked with the Teamsters, worked with the unions to understand their needs and to make sure that they're taken care of properly so he makes money, they make money, everybody makes money, and everybody's happy, which is the way a free market capitalist system is supposed to work. It's not capitalism when you support a corporation that's actually firing American employees and hiring illegal migrants, and you're doing that with the support of the federal government, which, by the way, is supposed to be illegal in the first place, which is what he started off saying at the very beginning. It's an illegal thing to do from the get-go, as you should not be hiring illegal migrants. But if you remember, under the Bush administration and the big rhino Republicans that took over in that time in the early 2000s, it was, we can't say something like that because that's the way the economy works. The industries are going to crumble unless you actually support this. Just look the other way. These aren't the droids you're looking for. And we can see how well that's working out for especially the blue collar and the Teamsters and the unions. That I'm not even a fan of the union industry itself. I am, however, a favor of hiring American workers and local individuals and making a decent wage to make a good living. And we're stripping that away while we're saying we're proud to be making stuff in America.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. 24 minutes past the hour. Radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting. Find all the information online at HoosierReason.com. We have some new updates coming up on the program, which I'm really excited about, because not only are we working with OpsLens to distribute the show even bigger and better, we're on Roku TV through OpsLens and all their sites, their apps, their website, everything else, but also soon, and I'm not going to tell you when because I'm working on it as we speak, but there's going to be soon an embedded video feed that you can watch right on our website at HoosierReason.com. You can watch the show like you do on the social media directly from the website at HoosierReason.com. We already have the audio, but we're going to be adding the video to it soon, along with a chat room, which is really awesome. So that way you can chat right there on the website. and we can have all the Hoosier holics gathered together in one singular place. I'm thinking that's kind of cool. So, oh wait, no, that's not what I wanted. We're excited about it. We're happy. Come on, man. All right, let's get back into it. So we have the primaries today, the state of Ohio, a big one. I mean, that's the big one we need to focus on.
And I think we're going to make it big league.
It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, the primaries are going to be the primaries, but watching the turnout and the general election excitement is going to be interesting. And again, hint, hint, wink, wink, Republican Party, the messaging that you need to be promoting right now is the fact that the Democrats not only are allowing the importation of illegal migrants, which is a major issue, and that seems to be priority numero uno for most of the Republican voters and Democrat voters across the nation. But now we're also seeing them endorse and support the idea of different corporations in the nation fire, not just hire them new and saying, oh, look at what we're doing our due diligence, but literally firing American workers to hire illegal migrants so that way they can pay them less and actually lower the wages that way. Look, I'm all about lowering wages. I've told you many times before, I do not believe there should be a minimum wage in the nation. I believe that we're going about it the opposite way, that if you want to make a livable wage, that you lower the price of goods by actually lowering inflation, by stopping the printing of money, to making the value of the dollar better to where you can afford more based on what you're making already without having to raise wages. Because when you raise wages and you raise taxes and you create inflation, everything's more expensive. And then your raising of your wage doesn't do diddly, you know what. So we're going about it the wrong way. We always have gone about it the wrong way. But that being said, you also have that power, which is why I also fight against unions, because you have the power, you have the ability to negotiate your own contracts and make a livable wage for yourself and make the amount of money, make the salary, make the benefits that you deserve based on your experience, based on your tenure, based on your knowledge, based on your work ethic, based on how much you bring to the table to produce for a business for them to see the value in you as well. That is the beauty of the private sector. And to fire everybody and just bring on workers that have very little experience and little stuff just so they can pay little so the company can make more profit like that, while the Democrats are out saying how evil it is for corporations to make all this profit, doesn't quite jive with me. And they're okay allowing it to happen, and the Republican Party has to take the stance now. This is a prime opportunity for you right now. The doors are wide open, those big, beautiful doors that Donald Trump talks about all the time. The door of opportunity is right there for you. All you have to do is let the voters know what's going on. We're for workers. We're for the middle class. We're for the blue-collar worker. The Democrats are for replacing your workers with illegal migrants so the company can have better pay. While they say the company is making too many profits, they're not paying enough wages, and they need to pay higher taxes, which is going to drive the prices up already. So then you're out of a job, and you get to pay more for the product that they're making that you need to buy. Funny how that works. Good news is, big news coming out today as well, shows the Supreme Court has ruled in the favor of the state of Texas, allowing the state of Texas to actually arrest illegal migrants coming across the border, turn them around, and deport them out of the nation. That was being challenged by the Biden administration, saying, no, even though you have a massive flood of migrants, you're not allowed to arrest them because that's the federal government's job, and we choose not to do it, but the state, you're definitely not allowed to do that. And the Supreme Court disagreed, which means there's going to be mayhem and more anger coming out of the Biden administration. They're just taking hit after hit, my friend, because now the law is starting to finally come to fruition on what we can and cannot do. So kudos to you, Texas. Now we can see other states start doing the same thing as well. Let's see this clean up on ourselves because we have to do it. The feds won't. Lots more coming up.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Reason meets radio. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Truth, reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do on the program each and every day. So great to have you along for the ride as well on a Super Tuesday 3.0. Yeah, third big Tuesday with multiple states with their presidential preference primaries here in Kansas, where I'm hailing with our flagship radio station along with some of the great states across the nation. Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio all having their big primaries today, which means it's going to be a fun one. We have Arizona to keep an eye out on, Ohio, definitely, Illinois, Florida. Florida is, by the way, $125. I know that we already have our presumptive nominees right now, but it's still always fun. I am curious to see what the voter turnouts are going to look like. Are you saving yourself for November or are you going to show up today just because you're that passionate and ready to go, even though we have our nominees pretty much locked in for both sides of the aisle? Interesting conversation. We'll get to all that throughout the program today, but let's get into what's trending.
What's trending today?
I am really excited to have our next guest on the program because, as you know, we like to unveil the layers of the onion. We like to go just a little bit deeper on this program, more so than most talk shows out there, because we enjoy the deeper thought. We like to expand our horizons, not just be in the echo chamber of the tweets of the day. So to talk about some of that and more, I have a question for you, listener, and raise your hand. I want to see your hands out if you believe this, but do you think that we use cognitive thinking? I almost did it without saying it without a straight face. The cognitive thinking and the cognitive ability to think about things logically in society, do we have that ability to do that in society today? And do we actually use that? That's an interesting conversation. At the same time, are you, and self-admittance here, come on, it's okay, you can admit it. Do you fall into echo chambers at sometimes listening to the same content from your side of the aisle because you support that? And do you ever branch out and listen to the other side of the aisle? And how can we bring some of that back? Happy to have on the program, he is the co-author of Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. Happy to have on the program, Brent Hamacek. Brent, how are you, my friend?
I couldn't be any better. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I appreciate it. I really enjoy these conversations because I remember in high school, which is what got me involved in wanting to be in politics, wanting to be on the radio, was going through debate in my speech class and doing debate competitions and actually having a conversation and actually thinking about things logically and cognitively. It breaks my heart because I don't know that I see much of that anymore in society today. Do you?
No, there's too little of it. And what we have is, you know, I'm fond of saying that skepticism, if it's not preceded by critical thinking, is nothing more than cynicism. We have an awful lot of cynics. We don't have enough skeptics. And so my book is an effort, I guess, on my part to try to generate a bit more skepticism.
We need that. We need to challenge things. The public education system is a great way to start because, I mean, watching the way that we're being taught things today, and it's happened for a long time, obviously, but even now higher education is starting to go the same way. You're being taught what to think instead of being taught how to think. And like you said, being a skeptic and starting to challenge ideas and actually use the hypothetical situations and actually using the scientific method, which is I have a theory, I have a hypothesis. Now I'm going to try the hypothesis and see whether that comes out to be accurate or not. We don't do that anymore, do we?
No, we don't. And it starts on some level with a misuse of language. You know, people will observe things that are going on, whether it was the 2020 election or a host of other things you can point to, and they say they have a theory. Well, they don't. They have a hypothesis,
Something
they put together by observation, something that needs to get tested. And so just that small slip of language isn't quite so small. We run around saying we've got theories about things. No, we don't. We have a hypothesis, and people don't do enough testing to try to prove the validity of what it is they actually think.
Yeah, that is very true. Have you seen throughout the years as well, as we talk about using of certain words, have you seen the changing of definitions of words for political purposes or societal purpose to try and change the feelings around these certain words or what the context may be? But have you seen the changing of the actual definitions of what these words mean?
Well, there is. I mean, look, the classic one, the one that most people know, is the term liberal, which, if you go back a couple hundred years ago, would have meant somebody very much in favor of free markets and individual liberty. And now it's come to be associated with a position that's a little bit more collectivist in nature and a little bit less about individual liberty. And so that's the classic one. But we've done it all along the way. And one of the points I make in my book is that people really have to make a conscious effort to start to take back language. In fact, we've surrendered so much language to collectivist-type elements, we're literally running out of words. We don't know what we can say anymore, so we tend to say nothing at all. And, of course, that's not productive to civil discourse or advancing positions.
Well, and I don't see a whole lot of civil discourse much anymore either, because now we just use words freely when they used to have very strong meanings. When you hear any Republican, essentially, or any conservative be considered a racist or a sexist or a misogynist or a Nazi or a fascist or a white supremacist or whatever words they throw out there. They throw them out so loosely now that, to me, when I heard the term racism growing up, like, that was the worst thing you could possibly be. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone actually said that. And you're accusing someone, like, how horrible of a person could this be? Now we say that in just regular conversation about someone like a, you know, a Donald Trump or, you know, some kind of Republican. And it's wild because it's almost watered down the meanings and the value of these words, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could say this, that if everybody's a racist, then nobody is, of course, because there's no distinction to it. And one of the things I point out in my book relates exactly to that particular label that gets attached to what we could call conservative type folks. And one of the points I make is to stop trying to defend yourself when you're accused of that. I mean, we all know the, you know, somebody says you're a racist and somebody wants to say, wait, I've got three black friends, right? Or something like that. We need to stop doing that. And we need to more embrace the notion of Jesus, perhaps, when he cleverly said, your words, not mine.
Yeah.
And so a little bit less defending ourselves against accusations that are baseless and simply rejecting those accusations on their face. When we defend ourselves, we look guilty, and we ought not to do that.
Yeah, amen to that. I love that. We're talking with Brent Hamacek. He's co-author of the book, Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words That Change the War. Brent, how many of us or how many in society do you think actually sit in our own echo chambers without listening to the other side of the aisle? I was always taught growing up, when I started getting into debate and government and politics, was that in order for you to strengthen your argument or to strengthen your opinion about an issue, that you had to understand the other side of it as well, because there may be a good point, but you just may disagree with the policy or may disagree with how they go about it, but you need to understand how they do their thing so that way you can defend your thing. And I was always taught that, but I don't know that we do that much anymore.
No, we don't. And there's a student-based program that my partner, Felisa Blazek, and I have started called Common Ground Campus, where we go around the country and actually work with young people to do exactly that. We teach them how to do it. And what's been astonishing is that after every event we hold, we get the same response from the students in the room or who participate, and then the observers. They say, I didn't realize how much we had in common. How does this happen? Well, it happens because we got them to sit down in front of a room filled with people and talk about what they had in common. Yeah. Talk about how to find agreeable solutions to complex problems that they can all live with. It isn't complicated. It just requires a bit of time. Nobody seems to want to invest the time.
Yeah. But, Brent, I thought that Democrats just wanted a nanny state and Republicans just wanted old people to die in the streets.
Right. Well, one would be led to believe that, right? And, you know, and one of the things, though, I point out in my book, and I go out of my way to point this out because my background has people associating me with team right positions, as I characterize them. And I point out very clearly that team right is no better than team left when it comes to making assumptions, vilifying others, and wanting to raise their voice instead of their eyebrows and intellect.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge that, and we have to be willing to say, look, we're part of the problem as well. Like we say in recovery, you know, we need to own our 1%. Usually it's more than 1%. But in all these kinds of disputes and disagreements and this level of intolerance we have, it's not one side, and it's both sides, and both sides have to be willing to acknowledge it and own it.
Yeah. Well, it also seems like now in today's time, we're not allowed to evolve and change our opinion on something, even if we get new information or if the new information challenges what we believe. I mean, I talk about a lot on the program about foundational principles or core values that people have, and that when you challenge a core value, then they get obviously very angry. They get very defensive. They don't like to listen to it at all. They put on the blinders and just listen to, and just tune it out because it challenges a core value of theirs. On little stuff, yeah, okay, oh, that makes sense. You know what? I can actually understand that. But unfortunately today, and I think with maybe social media and with the short context of how people actually do dialogue or argue with one another, every issue seems to be a core value to where we don't even want to hear another side that could challenge anything because We already have our preconceived notion. We know exactly how every issue is, and if you challenge it, then how dare you? Because now I'm just going to tune you out because you're a conspiracy theorist.
I feel like you're set up to sell books for me, because that is that very thing that you're mentioning is the subject of chapter two in the book. And it's true. What we're doing, first of all, we overuse the term core values. If we say something's a core value, then we don't have to talk about it. The truth is, most folks, I'd contend, don't necessarily have a lot of core values. Mm. They've got simply preferences that they define as values, so they don't have to defend them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what we're doing is working through a process backwards.
Yeah, I tell you,
and what we're doing.
Brent, I tell you, we got to take a hard breaker. Can you stick over another segment with us?
Oh, I'd love to.
Awesome. I want to continue this conversation. We got to take a break here real quick. We're talking with Brent Hamacek. The book is Dissidently Speaking: Change the Words, Change the War. We'll continue this around the corner. How do we get people to start engaging and having a conversation and actually challenge their own beliefs again? Back after this.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yeah, darn right it is. I love these conversations. Welcome back into the show. We got a few minutes left of it. It goes by way too fast. I could talk about this for hours on end because I enjoy it. The preconceived notions, the echo chamber, how do we expand our thought, making ourselves smarter, more intelligent, more knowledgeable, having more wisdom, seeking that wisdom, which is what we do on this program each and every day. And you do that by challenging your own beliefs. And when you challenge your own beliefs, and your beliefs may evolve or adapt a little bit, which is a good thing. As new information comes out, you should not be stagnant, because that would be very strange if you have more knowledge and information, but yet your views stay the same. But your core principles should be emboldened, or if they do change, it's because now you have a new interpretation of them. Or at least you can respect another one, which is, I mean, look, we always try to bring progressives on the show. They don't always come on the show because they don't like to converse. But, you know me, I'm a happy-go-lucky, friendly kind of guy. And if they come on the program, the platform's theirs. We can disagree on everything, but I'll respect it. And I've said this many times before. If I can at least understand going from point A to point B and the process they got to get there, then I may not agree with it, but at least I'll respect it. But nowadays, unfortunately, I don't even understand the thought process and how you get from point A to point B. So there's not a lot of that going on. How can we embolden ourselves and strengthen ourselves in our own personal beliefs? We're talking with the co-author of Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War, which, by the way, you can find it on the website at dissidentlyspeaking.com. Brent Hamacek on the line with us here. Brent, we are going into how we can challenge our thoughts and how we can actually make ourselves more knowledgeable on these issues. So talk about this. How can we do that to actually not be in that echo chamber, not just to put on the blinders and ignore new information that comes out, but actually challenge ourselves to become better people?
Well, one of the things we can do, we were talking about it just before the break, is I was starting to say that we have the process backwards. So what people are doing more and more, perhaps than ever before, although I wasn't around 100 years ago, it seems that way, is that what they're doing is they're coming into a particular situation. Maybe it's a news story. Maybe it's a discussion in a coffee shop. Doesn't matter what it is. And what they do is they bring their opinion and lead with their opinion. And then what they do is they listen and they selectively choose facts and words to backfill to justify their opinion. Opinions are supposed to come at the end of a process, not at the beginning.
Yeah.
So if we can get to the point where we can start to take in facts, apply our empirical knowledge to them, and then our philosophy, the values we truly do have, and then come out with an opinion, we'll find a radical change instantly in who and what we are and how we communicate. We've got to stop leading with our opinions. It's like leading with your chin if you're trying to have constructive dialogue with somebody else. It'll get you knocked out.
It's a great point. There was a study that I saw actually just last week that was one of the largest studies showing this, that showed that the younger generation, I'm a millennial, I'm 35 years old, my generation and younger, showed that 46% of them in this online survey were not able to decipher the difference between a factual statement like 2 + 2 = 4 and an opinion statement that 4 is the greatest number on the face of the earth. That 46% of those that took the survey were not able to decipher and understand the difference between a factual statement and an opinion statement. That right there is one of the biggest problems, isn't it?
It is one of the biggest problems. Facts are interesting things, right? They objectively exist. But in order to find them, you have to be willing to look for them. You also have to be willing to try to sift through the noise that wraps around them. And in this day and age, with social media, the advent of the internet, people's ability to sort of print whatever they want to print and post it, what we have oftentimes is people thinking something is a fact because it appears as one, but the truth is it's a myth wrapped in noise. And so even the most well-intentioned person can have a difficult time sorting through and finding actual facts. And that's one of the problems we have, right? There's so much information. There's almost too much information. And if somebody really wants to learn about something, you would think it would be easy because it's all there.
Yeah.
But it's overwhelming because there's so much. And yep. So they grab it from a familiar, convenient source, usually one that just supports their own confirmation bias.
Yeah, it is troubling. Like, you're absolutely right. We find the news that's comforting to us that reinforces what we already have without, like you said, looking deeper into it. But we have this theory, we have this hypothesis, and then we hear people talk about it. So it must obviously be true. And then you tag on artificial intelligence, you tag on the fake news that gets spread out there for the misrepresentation, and then we just have a haywire world out there. Go and check out the book, Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words That Change the War. I love it. Brent, I appreciate it. We're out of time. I got to get you back on again real soon. What do you say?
If you ask me, I'll show up. I enjoyed it very much. Hey, so thanks for having me.
Likewise, my friend. I appreciate it. That does it for us today. We're back at it again tomorrow for the middle of the week. Until then, be your own voice of reason. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.